week earlier, Jeff Tucker, a senior economist at Zillow, said home buyers and home sellers finally have been adjusting to mortgage rates over 6% this spring, but a debt default could potentially raise borrowing costs even higher and send the market into a deep freeze. Jeff Tucker added, home values might not see a notable drop, but higher mortgage rates would severely impair affordability, for first-time buyers especially. He added, it was critically important that lawmakers found a solution before a default occurs. On Monday, 8th of May, President Biden went toe-to-toe with Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy in their first meeting in over 3 months. The two men are entrenched in opposing views as President Biden wants to raise the debt ceiling to stop a default. However, Kevin McCarthy has insisted the measure will not pass through Congress. President Biden is now considering using the 14th Amendment to push through an increase to the debt ceiling, though he expressed reservations about doing so. The 14th Amendment says the validity of the public debt authorized by law shall not be questioned. However, today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen condemned the idea as legally questionable.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Well, in this program, we answer the questions that you have related to the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, we have a question from a 14-year-old boy, a very strange question. His name is Zahran Han, and he's from Islamabad, Pakistan. And he's saying that I go to a British school in Pakistan, and I live in a very liberal family, but my family is so liberal in their conversations that I sometimes feel uncomfortable. I want some of the tips and advices. Thank you so much.
Yes, so we need to know what he means by liberal. If they're talking about things which normally people do not talk about. And especially in Pakistani society, it's quite a conservative society. And therefore, normally you don't open up with your children, even between yourselves, about such things. So if he thinks, if the parents are talking about things which they think are important for him to know as a young person.
Professor, well, we actually received this question in the holy month of Ramadan, and It said that whosoever Allah wishes to guide, he guides him. And it seems that this boy, 14-year-old, has actually opened up, being liberal in brackets. He means that his parents have encouraged their children being friends with the opposite sex, and that's what he means by being liberal, while as this child himself feels uncomfortable and he wants some guidance. And this question we received in the holy month of Ramadan, and today we had the opportunity to use.
So it doesn't mean that he the liberal in the sense that I would like to understand that maybe they're talking about things which are important and he should know about them as something which is a normal thing which we think should be done by parents, which it is not, especially in conservative societies like Pakistan. Parents do not talk about these things with their children, and they leave it to the whims of the society to let them know about such things, especially in the age of social media where everything is on the net and you can't, you know, stop anything from coming. You can't filter. But yes, in certain elite sections of our society where there's so much open-minded, there are no limits to the relationships between men and women and all that, and they are talking in such a way which it seems to be offensive and vulgar, then of course that is the situation he needs to tackle. Number one, he should be able to it would be difficult for him to be able to talk to his parents, to talk them out of talking in such a way, because the moment he starts talking that way, they would become really apprehensive that he's now going down the mullah's path.
Yeah.
So that is a very difficult situation. And we find in such situations, parents become very concerned that a child
is feeling modest actually going down the mullah's path.
Of course, if their mindset is such that society should
so
be open.
So they will think like that, basically.
They will, of course, think that he's going down the mullah's path. And so that is the important thing that he needs to understand, that if he starts... he can only avoid such situations where he's being forced to think such a way.
Yeah.
So he needs to balance the situation. Either he just he understands that what they're saying is not correct, then himself he should, you know,
take decisions. Right.
Be independent in his own behavior and his own decisions.
Yeah. Perhaps we'll discuss more with you after a short break, sir. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we are talking about a 14-year-old who feels uncomfortable with the liberal and open kind of environment he has in the family. So yes, Professor, you were helping us that he should be, if he's able to make independent decisions, then he should be able to manage. He should be managing and controlling himself.
Yes, Joe, he should, there are two issues. If he is himself being forced to do something which is wrong, that is one thing. And number two, he wants them to change their opinion. He wants to make them realize that they're making a mistake. These are two things.
Yeah.
So if he can show his independence and he makes his own decision and makes them feel that he is not going to budge from that position and he's going to take care of the Islamic principles and the values of Islam, and he makes them realize that you may say whatever you want, but I can't. I'm responsible to you. I'm answerable to you. I am going to follow your commands, but with this condition that they do not conflict with the commands of Allah Almighty.
All right.
So, yes, we need to obey our parents, but the condition, the major condition is the most important condition is that their commands do not conflict with the commands of Allah.
Yeah.
If they want him to do something which is wrong in the eyes of Allah, then he should clearly say to them that I am not allowed to do so by virtue of my religious principles and values. So as far as his own behavior goes, he needs to protect himself from such a situation and not accepting their inclinations or their what they desire. As far as this keeping to his position and keeping to maintaining his independence may make them realize that they're making a mistake. But if that does not happen and they continue on this path, then he needs to take advice from people who can help him and assist him in talking and maybe allowing them to talk to him, he gets to a situation where he is able to make senior people come to his house and talk to his parents and to maybe senior ulama or learned people, wise people, elderly people who can make his parents realize that they're making a wrong decision and they are doing something which is wrong and Islam does not want that to happen.
Yeah. So, what is important is that a 14-year-old is not, we won't say he's that young or he's not either too old, but you are giving some of the tips and advices that he can actually manage things, he can actually balance the things, and today there's a world of internet, he can actually guide himself on Islamic principles and Islamic sayings so that may Allah enlighten his heart and also the heart of his parents. And also give them this sense that there's a balance between being open and being modest with our children. Well, Professor will discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Regarding the sixth verse of Surah At-Tahrim, the 66th surah of the Holy Quran, that is, O you who have faith, save yourselves and your families from a fire. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, save your families from fire by enjoining them to do good and forbidding them from evil deeds.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we have Professor Salman Naqvi with us. We are discussing about the parents who are kind of more open and liberal to their children, and sometimes it's their children who do not feel very comfortable. So is it okay to be that open, or Professor has something more to say? Yes, Professor.
Yes, one of the issues nowadays that we're facing in society in general, and especially all over the world, but especially in Islamic society, is that there's a feminist movement going on, especially a feminist movement where they're talking about their rights. And they profess and they claim that it's my body and I have all the rights over it. I can do whatever I like with my body. In Urdu, they say, "Mera jism, meri marzi."
My body, my choice.
My body, my choice. So these are the slogans being given there. So unfortunately, it's not a good situation, and many so-called liberal, open-minded people are also. Even men folk are joining in with this voice of, unreason. It's not the voice of reason. We need to understand that all of us, we belong to Allah Almighty. Whatever we have is Allah has given us. Our body is a trust with Allah from Allah Almighty.
And we will be questioned tomorrow.
And we will be answerable to Allah Almighty about it. So we cannot deal with ourselves or with anybody based on our own whims and our own feelings and what we think is right. So this open society which is there today, we need to confront it in a very logical way. Of course, unfortunately, sometimes why do they think that it's the mullah's way or it's the mullah's path instead of saying that it's Allah's path?
All right.
It's sometimes because we, the ulama, the scholars, religious scholars, try to portray themselves as the as those who are the stakeholders in this issue. They have personal gains to benefit from in this situation.
All right.
They feel, the society feels that they are they want to keep their influence and their power by imposing their will upon others.
Yeah.
Whereas actually it's not their own will, it's the will of Allah, it's the path of Allah, it's the way of Allah that has to be imposed on society. So it depends on how we talk to our society. If they see that we are looking for example, a special position in society as ulama, as religious scholars, then of course they will be offended and they will think that we are looking for some special position in society. No, we should make them realize and they should understand what, that whatever we as religious scholars or ulama are claiming or professing, it's not our personal opinion. It is something which God says very explicitly. It's not what something is, which it's not a matter of interpretation. Some commands of Allah Almighty are very clear, and especially about modesty.
Explicit.
It's very explicit.
Well, what is important is that both parents and children got to be educating themselves over Islam. And being open-minded does not always mean to be anti-Islamic. In fact, the more Islamic behavior you have, the more open-minded you are, because Islam is a complete religion which guides us on each and every topic of our life. We have Quran that talks about science, education, everything, psychology, health, history, and many more things. So what's important is to educate ourselves, both as parents and also as children. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamic. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, hope you all are doing well. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and this is Youth Station. I'm your host Hassanain and we have our co-host with us, Sister Asma.
Salam alaikum. I'm here as well. Wa alaikum salam, brother. I'm so happy to be here again.
Oh yeah, it's my pleasure. And how are you doing, sister? You good? Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, as long as we are in Youth Station, everything is cool. Home sweet home.
Alhamdulillah. And I hope all our dear brothers and sisters listening to us are doing well as well. Youth is the best stage of our lives.
Of course.
So, you know, we can do a lot of things. We can gain a lot of things. It decides how our future is going to be.
Of course.
So, you know, it's basically the critical stage of our life.
Yeah.
And sometimes, with us, the case is, you know, youth. Like, you know, just everything is chill, you know.
Yeah.
Everything sometimes.
Take it easy.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes this is the case with, concerning to a lot of things that might be important, but we don't really pay attention to. So what do you think about this behavior from youth that we usually get to see? Or we ourselves, you know, we see it from ourselves.
Well, I would say it's because, in some cases, it's because we are lazy. In some other cases, we don't want to talk more.
Mm-hmm.
In other cases, maybe it's because I don't want to interact with others, or maybe I don't want to share
more. Let me ask it this way. So, you being a youth, you being young, so let me ask it this way. When was the last time, what was the situation, what was the circumstance that you said, like, oh, never mind, it doesn't matter?
Well, I should say that I use these phrases too much in my life.
Okay, so when was the last time?
The last time, maybe yesterday. Because things happen and then I don't wish to think about them too much. And then I say, okay, let's just not think about it. Maybe it's a way of ignoring things instead of solving them. Maybe it's a way of pushing yourself away from the problem that you don't wish to face.
Okay, so this attitude of being chill and this whole idea of, you know, never minding things and, you know, it doesn't matter to me. This whole idea, this attitude, what do you think? Is it a positive attitude or is it negative?
It could be both. Sometimes it turns into a really bad thing because you start to be ignoring every single thing. You know what I mean? Nothing matters to you. Mm-hmm. You say it doesn't matter to every single thing around you. But I don't know if anything happens to your health. You say, okay, don't think about it. Anything happens to your sister, brother, you say, okay, it doesn't matter, don't think about it. Or even in a larger scale, things happen to your country, you would say, never mind, it's not my problem.
It depends upon the situation.
Yeah.
Like what he was saying to never mind on, like what are you applying to never mind on? Like if it might be an important thing, like as you mentioned, like, you know, health and all.
Yeah.
So if you say that, you know, just doesn't matter. So, you know, you might see the factors later on. You might see the consequences. You might face the consequences later on. Okay, let's take a short break over here and then we'll continue after the break.
Yeah, never mind for the rest.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know the break was for a short time, but doesn't matter. So let's carry on with our show.
Yeah. Still, we're talking about Nevermind people.
Yeah, it's Nevermind and being chill.
So, and we said that it could be both negative and positive.
Yeah. So as we see, every coin has two sides. Mm-hmm. This attitude of, it doesn't matter attitude. Even this has a positive side and
exactly.
It has a negative side.
And why we are talking about these never mind and these sort of phrases with the youth is because when you say it in your young age, it would turn into a habit. And maybe mm-hmm. then when you get older, you would say never mind to everything and nothing
yeah, even
would matter
to even
you.
To the serious matters.
Yeah.
You say never mind and then you might face the consequences later.
Yeah, you just ignore them and you just, close your eyes about the issues that are really important, but you don't wish to care about them. That's why you just right. say, okay, let it go.
I guess, the positive things are, when someone's bothering you.
Yeah.
Or something's bothering you. So you just don't sit with that. You say that.
It's very good,
It doesn't matter. You just
exactly.
pass by.
Something is bothering you and when you are overwhelmed with too much of thinking,
mm-hmm.
if you're such a person who says, never mind, I guess you are blessed with that ability in order to... give a blind eye to something that is meant to hurt you, but it can't because you have mastered that skill of never mind.
Mm-hmm. So it's good at certain times.
Yeah. For those people who overthink, it's good to practice never mind.
Right.
Let me just talk about the negative side. When you're young and you use this phrase too much, maybe in the special phases of your life, maybe when at the time when you're going to pick a job for yourself, at a mm-hmm. time when you are going to pick your major, then it might be problematic then.
Yeah, I feel like, the negative side of never mind is more like being a careless person.
Yeah.
Being careless to important matters.
Mm-hmm.
And
what are the important matters?
It could be anything. It could be anything, anything that, like, as you mentioned, one of them, like, you're going for, the health, your society issues, and, your work issues,
mm-hmm.
that actually has an impact on your life. And you say that, over there, you say, never mind, you're being careless about it. So, this is actually the negative side of it. So you need to get rid of this, or else... we might face a big problem later mm-hmm. on.
Do you use that a lot as well as me?
I think I use it more with the positive side. Mm. Yeah. And sometimes I, not really negative side. I use it more the positive side of the never mind.
So when it is negative, I guess we can relate that to being lazy.
Yeah, it might be lazy. As I said, like a careless person.
Yeah.
More like a careless person. He doesn't care about anything. And as we said, it made him habituated to saying never mind. So that led him to, being that never mind person, like the negative never mind person.
Yeah.
So as I said, you need to get rid of this. First of all, the thing is, why do we say never mind?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the negative side of never mind. Why do we actually say it? Because we said, like, never mind of the negative side is when you say never mind to the important matters. So why do you say that? We say that because we don't know that this something is important.
Or maybe sometimes something is important, but you have lost control over it.
No, we don't seem it to be important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know that it is actually serious for us. It might decide our future. When we don't think it this way, so we don't really care about it. When we don't care about it, we say, oh, never mind.
Well, psychologically, I guess it would be called escape strategy to use never mind. Just because you're ignoring things.
Sometimes, to just escape of the situation, you say, mm-hmm. never mind.
Yeah. So I guess we can go for a break and then I will add another point.
Sure.
IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. And Sister Asma, before the break, you were mentioning about something.
Yes, I was mentioning something. Another thing which is related to this never mind the strategy, I guess, is losing passion in things. As a young person, mm-hmm. when I say never mind to many things, mm-hmm. I will get used to this strategy.
Okay.
When I get used to it, I would lose my passion towards life.
Why?
Nothing else is going to be important to me. Nothing seems to be important to me.
Okay, okay. When you get habituated to it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Then I would lose my passion towards life.
Okay, yeah.
Because everything is just unimportant.
Right.
And then what would happen to me as a person, as a human being? When I lose passion in life, I'll get depressed.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then depression has got his own story.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah. So that's why, just get rid of the negative side of never mind. Again, once again, you know, you need to, we need to have the ability to think what is important for us and the things which we cannot skip, like which we have to do it at any cost,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, for those situations, we cannot say never mind.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things, like we have a deadline for everything. So we have to do this, we have to get this done by this date. Over there, you know, when you plan to do something, when you will to do something, so you would never say never mind if you get to know the importance of it, if you get to know the seriousness of it. So, yeah,
yeah.
This way you can get rid of the negative.
So up until now, we talked about the fact that those people who use these phrase too much, they might use it for two aspects. One is negative and the other is positive. The positive one is good for those people who are overthinking all the time and they eat themselves and they kill themselves with too much of thinking. But the negative one is the kind of usage of this phrase that would let you into this person who is a nerd into life and who feels like she or he is numb and nothing else mm-hmm. is going to affect them. And life is so meaningless and nothing is important.
Yeah, that spoils a
lot. So that would lead to depression and yeah. The rest of the story. That is very much clear to everyone. The thing that is important is that as the young age and the youth is the time of habit formation, we should actually control ourselves even in using words in our discussions, in everyday conversations, because that is going to have some impact on the way we think.
If we were habituated, you know, since a young age of, you know, never bothering about the things and, you know, never taking anything serious, so that would we would face the consequences later on. So there's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That, you know, youth, the age of youth is like a land, you know.
It's a time of cultivation.
Yeah, like it's a field of cultivation that whatever you plant into it, it will take it.
Yeah.
And it will give you the fruit according to whatever is planted in it.
Yes.
So this, if you...
So take care of the seeds that you're putting in this plant.
Right. So if you let this attitude of never minding about things absorb while you're still in your young age, so you'll get to face a lot of problems later on.
And don't get engaged with it too much, because this ideology is, just as I told you, is going to make you a person who does not feel motivated to do anything. By the way, all the people who made revolutions, who wrote books, who invented new things, if they said, never mind, let it go, they would have never took action.
Yeah, the world wouldn't have advanced to this
exactly,
stage.
Exactly, yeah.
And before ending the show, and we also mentioned about the positive side of never mind, and sometimes I feel that we need to have that positive side.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cannot just sit with things you know, that are bothering us and be depressed. So sometimes we also need to say never
exactly,
mind.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's all the time we have for today. With that being said, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
in the limelight. In Britain, the former Home Secretary Priti Patel has attacked Rishi Sunak's leadership, blasting the Conservative Party for getting rid of Boris Johnson last summer. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Sunday newspaper The Observer has covered this story and tells us more. Rishi Sunak was losing control of an increasingly anarchic Tory party on Saturday, 13th of May, as former cabinet ministers openly criticised the direction of policy under his leadership, and dozens of backbench MPs plotted a new rebellion over Brexit. Amid recriminations over the heavy Conservative losses in recent local elections and with pro-Brexit MPs incensed that Rishi Sunak is dropping plans to shred more than 4,000 EU laws within months, discipline was at risk of completely disintegrating under right of the Conservative Party. Speaking at the inaugural conference of the pro-Boris Johnson Conservative Democratic Organisation in Bournemouth on Saturday, former Home Secretary Priti Patel suggested the party's high command under Sunak was responsible for the losses in the local elections. In a clear swipe at those now in charge, she said some senior figures at Westminster had done a better job at damaging our party over the past year than Labour. She also criticised MPs for removing Boris Johnson, saying they had overseen the ousting of our most electorally successful Prime Minister since Margaret Thatcher. In comments reminiscent of the disastrous Liz Truss leadership, she also backed a tax-cutting agenda, despite the perilous state of public finances and stubbornly high inflation. The public will not vote Conservative because they want high taxes, high spending and high borrowing, she said. They vote Conservative because they expect us to keep taxes down. Nadine Dorries, the former culture secretary and one of Boris Johnson's biggest backers, told the conference that the party had undergone an astonishing political tumble since Johnson secured an 80-strong majority in 2019 and was going backwards. Nadine Dorries said, "We are drifting and people know that. They can sense it and they can smell it. We no longer have that inspirational leader and those visionary policies. What happened to levelling up? It's been all but dumped. A U-turn on the promised bonfire of EU regulation, which in itself demonstrates a paucity of ambition." While she did not call for Boris Johnson to replace Rishi Sunak, Nadine Dorries said, "The solution to most problems in politics are usually quite simple. You need the right leader, you need the right vision, and you need to make people feel inspired. I don't think we're there at the moment." Criticism of the Prime Minister is increasingly focusing on last week's widely predicted reverse over the retained EU Law Bill, a much-vaunted initiative that formed a centrepiece of the Sunak campaign for the Tory leadership last year. It was also subject of a special video from his campaign team featuring shots of him shredding laws himself. On Monday, the bill will be the subject of further argument and controversy during its report stage in the House of Lords, with pro-EU Tory peers among those backing a series of amendments to limit the power of ministers to unilaterally scrap any laws. But with the Conservative Party increasingly divided into rival camps over Brexit and EU issues, The Observer has been told that large numbers of Eurosceptic Tory MPs will be ready to rebel when the bill comes back to the House of Commons, unless ministers reverse their U-turn and, in effect, reinsert a firm date by which most EU law will be scrapped. Former Minister David Jones, now Deputy Chair of the European Research Group of Eurosceptics, said, "This is a very important issue to a lot of Conservative backbenchers. A promise was made at the time of the last general election
that we would deliver the benefits of Brexit, which included getting rid of a whole tranche of EU laws. Now, a lot of those same members are extremely concerned that this promise has not been kept. Meetings between whips and backbench Tory MPs are continuing to try to avert a House of Commons showdown, which some fear could be reminiscent of rows that tore the party apart in early 1990s over the Maastricht Treaty. If we don't see progress, we will see the spectacle return to the Commons of Tory MPs at war with their own government, said one senior MP. Another senior member of the European Research Group of Eurosceptics said the rebellion will be far bigger than that over Sunak's deal on post-Brexit Northern Ireland trade, the Windsor Framework, which saw 22 Tory MPs vote against him, because scrapping EU laws made sense to millions of voters as a demonstration of Brexit in action. The website gbnews.com has also covered this story and tells us more. The former Home Secretary said a failure to listen to members was responsible for last week's local election results. Priti Patel attacked Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's leadership as she blasted the Conservative Party for getting rid of Boris Johnson last summer. Speaking at the Conservative Democratic Organisation conference in Bournemouth, the former Home Secretary, Priti Patel, said the leadership of the party was failing to listen to grassroots members. Criticising Rishi Sunak's role in bringing about the end of Boris Johnson's premiership, the Witham MP also said the Conservative Party had not covered itself in glory over the past 12 months. Priti Patel said, "We haven't covered ourselves in glory, and in fact some parts of Westminster and colleagues have done a better job at damaging our party than the opposition, even the left-wing campaign groups, the civil service that you know. We all struggle with day in, day out. And even I'm afraid that some of those in the media that want to distort and make life difficult for us. We have seen, as discussed today, the ousting of a democratically elected, in fact our most electorally successful Prime Minister since Margaret Thatcher." The former Home Secretary paid tribute to Boris Johnson, describing him as the man that got Brexit done and as the person who delivered on the people's priority. The Conservative Democratic Organisation was set up in the aftermath of Boris Johnson's removal from office and amid anger at the installation of Rishi Sunak as Prime Minister without membership approval. The group is backed by Tory peer and donor Lord Cruddas, and organised by Brexiteer David Campbell Bannerman. Taking aim at Rishi Sunak for failing to listen to the members, Priti Patel said, "As grassroots activists, of course, we are the ones who listen to and engage and face the consequences of some of those bad decisions and the infighting that we have seen at Westminster. And of course, if the centre of the Conservative Party spent more time with us, listening, engaging, then I think it's fair to say we would not have seen over 1,000 of our friends and even colleagues lose their seats in the recent local elections, and dozens of councils fall out of Conservative control." The Labour Party overtook the Conservatives as the largest party in local government last week, as the Tories suffered disastrous results across the country. Nationwide polls also indicate that Labour leader Keir Starmer is likely to win a majority at the next general election.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how to get rid of suffering from idleness. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salamun alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z, IRB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to be with you in this program. We're going to start our program today with a very, very important question. That is, must youth suffer from idleness, which is a source of corruption and boredom? So what is the way to get out of this impasse? To answer this question, the case, this very special case, in its first point is connected with the economic state of the countries, and this is not in our hand. But as the remaining points, they are connected with the culture of the youth in this concern, I would say that everything can be subjected to man's will if he only knows how to do that. Second, the youth have to create opportunities to work by themselves to the extent that the law will permit them. This requires them to be acquainted with the law. And third, the youth have to reject laziness, extra sleeping, and living based on their desires. And four, they have to know the disadvantages of idleness and leisure, for they bring man meanness and cause him to become involved in unlawful things and lead him to fail in life. So this is very important to have these principles that we can gain them from Quran and Hadiths in our mind. And also, you know, if we want to get rid of them, inshallah. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z on Islamic Lifestyle, IRB English Radio, Call of Islam page. So we were talking about the cultural reasons that makes us feel odorless and meanless, that is a source of corruption in the life. And we counted four of them, and we're going through the rest. So number five, if we are going to mention about this reason, is that a young man should know that life is a responsibility. First, he should be responsible for himself and then for his close relatives. So we have to understand that life is responsibility itself. And very, very firstly, we are responsible for our life, and our youth are responsible for themselves. Number six, a man should be humble and not disdain to accept a lawful job with the excuse that this is an ordinary job and it does not befit my or his position or rank. Many other people who have become wealthy whereas they were poor at the beginning of their lives, and many other people who have become presidents or high chiefs whereas their beginnings were simple. And number seven, creativity is a quality of successful people. Let the youth try to create jobs by which they will be prosperous and live well. And the last one, thinking, reading, activeness, joyful spirit, optimism, satisfaction, supplication and praying are among the main qualities that prepare for opportunities of work, and then free time will be occupied and idleness will be treated, inshallah. Thank you for staying with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ideal University Student brings change in thinking and reality of the society and world. The following is part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with university students and representatives of student associations in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on April 18, 2023. The Israelites practiced resistance in Egypt under Pharaoh for many years. Of course, they ruined everything later on, but they resisted for many years. It was this resistance that brought Moses to them. He started his movement and they followed him. This led to the destruction of Pharaoh and his system. This is what awaiting the reappearance of the Savior is about. Awaiting the reappearance means anticipating the removal of all the lacks that you just mentioned. The number of lacks that exist is 10 times more than this, but you didn't mention all of them. This is what awaiting the reappearance means. It means being prepared. It means you need to think. And it means not imagining yourself to be at a dead end. This imagining that you are at a dead end is a very bad thing. This is the meaning behind awaiting the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. You need to keep these things in mind. Of course, the Almighty God has repeatedly said in the Quran, Allah has ordained that I shall surely prevail, I and my messengers. The Holy Quran, Surah 58, verse 21.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Allah has ordained means that it is definite in God's law that the way of the prophets will prevail. There is no room for discussion on this. Allah will indeed defend those who have faith. The Holy Quran, Surah 22, verse 38. God will defend the believers. There is no doubt about this. And the Holy Quran also says, we desire to show favor to those who were oppressed in the land, and to make them imams. Surah 28, verse 5. No doubt exists in this. It is the promise of Almighty God. We have seen these realities ourselves. Now, there was a time when we used to quote these things from the Quran, Nahjul Balagha and Sahifa Sajjadiyya, but now we have seen these things in our own lives. Now, you are still very young. God willing, when you have lived to be 10 or 20 years more than I am now, you shall see many things. Me, at this age, I have seen this myself. I witnessed the victory of the revolution. It was a victory of truth over falsehood. No one thought or imagined that it could succeed.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
It was a gathering of defiance and hope, a chance for pro-Palestinian organizations and supporters to remind the international community they have not forgotten about justice for Palestine. 75 years on from the catastrophe, there was an urgent message for the world.
Today, and our first message is one of solidarity to the Palestinian people, those across historic Palestine from the river to the sea, those in the diaspora. The Palestinians expelled in 1948 and their descendants, who today are marking what happened in 1948, the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, the destruction of more than 500 Palestinian villages, but are also marking the Nakba not as a moment rooted in the past, but an ongoing process of colonization, a dispossession and oppression.
Ongoing Israeli aggression and injustices mean the Nakba is not simply a historic moment, but one that demands an immediate response to the current situation.
The Nakba is ongoing, and we have seen the latest threads in that tapestry of the Nakba woven in Gaza, once again. Suffering the raining of Israeli bombs.
The international community continues to fail the Palestinians, not just for their role in the facilitation of the ethnic cleansing and displacement of the people, but for their continued political blind eye, a blind eye that allows Israel to act with impunity in its subjugation and oppression of Palestinians day in, day out. Britain's role in not just pushing through the Balfour Agreement, but London's current position as a staunch ally of Tel Aviv makes the demands of the marchers all the more pressing.
What we're asking for as a British public is sanctioning Israel. We're asking for international law to be upheld. If any other country was breaking this many laws this frequently on an international level, sanctions would be placed upon them without doubt. So we're asking for a level playing field here, international law to be applied.